National Radio Hub.
Mighty Xers, welcome to Market Scope for October 2006. We left you last month partway through Chicago's AM band, looking only at the South Suburban local AM stations that are the rare DX catch. Mark Marino is back to turn the radio dials.
I first heard this station in the early 60s. It was playing a soul format on 1570 WBEE. Well, that lasted until 1967 when they switched to jazz because another station in Chicago started playing soul. Their jazz format, though, went on for, over 30 years until finally they got new owners in the late 90s and switched to a black gospel format. And they're doing pretty good at that now.
Gospel 1570, the big gospel express devotion to music, the vocal powerhouse, the gospel songbird of Chicago, Lemmy Battles from the Let's Have a Good Time CD. And she's got a live recording, y'all, coming up on Monday, June the 19th at the St. John Missionary Baptist Church, 211 East 115th Street, corner of Indiana in Chicago, Illinois, where the Reverend Dr. A. Edward Davis Jr. is the pastor. Lemmy is going to be recording. Doors open at 7 o'clock p.m. Recording begins at 8 o'clock p.m. sharp. But we certainly say God bless you, Lemmy, and we love you as she gets ready for her second live recording presented by New Haven Records, the one and only gospel songbird of Chicago. Evangelist Lemmy Battles once again, Monday, June the 19th, 2006. Doors open at 7 o'clock p.m. and the recording begins at 8 o'clock p.m. sharp. You want to be there because I'm telling you, this woman can sing. At the St. John Missionary Baptist Church, Reverend Dr. A. Edward Davis Jr. is the pastor. 211 East 115th Street. That's the corner of 115th and Indiana in Chicago, Illinois. There's going to be some special guests and she is going to be in her second live recording. And we just love you, Lemmy, right here in Chicago. All right, at 644 Chicago. Chicago 644. Good morning, Deacon Robert Gates. God bless you so much, and thank you so much for calling me and Sister Sonia joining, my Sonia. God bless you. Once again, I hope all mothers had a great day on yesterday. Hope you had a wonderful celebration. Be back with you with more gospel music on this great, great, marvelous Monday morning with Gospel 1570 WBGX.
God bless you, Chicago. This is Pastor Gerald Dew of the Antioch Missionary Baptist Church. I am excited and I am celebrating the fact that Father's Day is just a few weeks away.
And that is going to be an awesome gathering of brothers. Amen, amen, amen. You want to partake in that great, great Father's Forum. All men, wherever you are, you want to be a participant in this wonderful Father's Forum. That's the Saturday right before Father's Day. It's going to be wonderful. And I tell you, it's a great, great thing. It really is, because a lot of our brothers need to come together to learn more about these things. It's going to be a great, great Father's Forum. Once again, Saturday before Father's Day, you want to be at the Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, 6248 South Stewart Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. Amen, amen. Amen. All right, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. No need to worry about nothing, Chicago, because it's going to be all right. Dr. Alfred Wheeler and Blessed featuring Dennis Qualls on this marvelous Monday morning.
God bless you, Chicago. This is Reverend Alfred Wheeler, and you're listening to Yvonne Wesley with Devotions in Music on the Big Gospel Express, AM 1570.
It's going to be all right.
That just makes you moan right along with them. Gospel 1570, the Big Gospel Express. The Voices of Music, Yvonne Wesley right here with you on this marvelous Monday morning. The Reverend Dr. Alfred Wheeler and Blessed Ministries. And they're going to be in their third year anniversary musical on this coming Saturday. Amen. 7 o'clock p.m. sharp. It's going to be a wonderful celebration at the Hope Presbyterian Church, 1354 West 61st Street, where the Reverend Leslie Sanders is the host pastor. Admission is free. There's going to be some church going on over there this Saturday. Here. Yeah, I hope they got enough ushers. Yes, amen. Special guests include Patrick McCall and Praise and Anointed, the Unity Fellowship Mime Team, Pastor Janice White, and Theodore Gilmore and friends. Oh, my God. Worship leader, Reverend Julia Porter Maddox, is going to be a great celebration of gospel music featuring the Reverend Dr. Alfred Wheeler and Blessed Ministries. They're going to be in their third year anniversary musical on this coming Saturday at 7 o'clock p.m. sharp at the Hope Presbyterian Church, 1354 West 61st Street in Chicago, Illinois, with the Reverend Leslie Sanders is the host pastor. For more information, you can call 773-412-7041. That's 773-412-7041. Reverend Wheeler, you know I love you, and I'm going to be right there. Don't y'all mess with me up too bad now. Don't mess me up too bad. All right, got some birthdays on yesterday. Got some belated birthdays. Marquette Blackwell, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Also, Sister Gracie Few, I love you. Happy belated birthday to you. Sister Doris Irvin, Regina Sweeten, Sister Bessie Sparks, and Sister Doris Webb. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And on today, my girl, I love her so much. Love you. Sister Diane Jackson, happy birthday to you. God bless you. God bless you, DJ. Happy birthday to you on today. Amen. All right, the Ira Washington Circle and the Martha P. Anderson Circle of Senior Mission Number 2 of the Antioch Baptist Church is going to present a closed giveaway on this coming Saturday from 12 o'clock noon until 2 o'clock p.m. in the Boy Scout Room of the Antioch Missionary Baptist Church. Sister Cynthia James is General President of our Mission Number 2 Ministry of the Antioch Baptist Church. Once again, this coming Saturday, there will be a closed giveaway on this coming Saturday from 12 o'clock noon until 2 o'clock p.m. at the Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, 6248 South Stewart Avenue in Chicago, Illinois, in our Boy Scout Room. There is going to be a closed giveaway presented by our Iowa Washington Circle and the Martha P. Anderson Circle of Senior Mission Number 2 of the Antioch Missionary Baptist Church. All right, Chicago, we thank you so much for tuning in to another great day and another full hour of devotions and music right here on the Big Gospel Express, Gospel 1570 WBGX. Tune in tomorrow for Testimony Tuesday. Now, I'm going to try to get this right this time because on Friday I was supposed to play The Upper Room from Mahalia Jackson for Brother Frank Seabrooks, and I pushed the wrong button, but that's all right. All the Mahalia music is good, yes. So I think I got the right one this time, Brother Frank. I love you so much, and God bless you, and happy 49th year anniversary to you and Sister Dorothy one more time. Chicago, have an awesome, great day. I love you, love you, love you. May the Lord God bless each and every one of you real, real good.
Gentlemen, I apologize that these recordings are not as good as I'd like, although these stations come in well from my recording location. When you get recorders involved sometimes and TVs around, it creates interference. This next station, well, I grew up a lot with our local radio station, WCGO. They used to call it the Center of Entertainment. They used to have all kinds of features like Trading Post and Cradle Roll, 15-minute newscasts in the morning, and their FM used to feature a lot of high school football and basketball. Well, all that's gone by the wayside after two additional owners. The current owner, Q Broadcasting, brings in a satellite AM-only format with very little local information.
One great song after another. Your timeless classics are right here on WCGO, Unforgettable 1600.
The Turtles, Happy Together, Bud Bouchard, Timeless Classics. Hold your calls, we have our winners. Thomas, and I'm Gonna Make You Love Me from his Have a Heart CD. Before that, the Ray Charles Singers, I'll Be Lost. Bud Bouchard, Timeless Classics, and we do have our winners of The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, new on DVD. Almost 10 hours of exclusive bonus features on this special two-disc collector's edition. We'll be doing some more a little bit later in the day, and of course, again tomorrow. All week long, The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, available in stores right now. Timeless Classics are on the way in just a few minutes, but first, a quick break.
Los Boulevard and Main in Cherville. Thanks for listening, Merrillville, to WCGO Unforgettable 1600.
Just about all the way to the right is our final station on AM. They're in Chicago, but they transmit from 87th Street, which puts a good signal for them into the south suburbs. They say Berwyn, But their original license was for Johnston City, which is more than 300 miles south of Chicago, but it got moved. In any case, there was speculation in the paper that there could be a format change for this station soon, and that's kind of too bad because a lot of us really like
WRLL, Berwyn, Chicago, and online, listen live at realoldies1690.com.
Real Oldies 1690. I'm Kathy Worthington with the latest news, brought to you by Kennedy & Associates, Social Security Disability Specialist since 1986.
Real deals on Real Oldies 1690. This week, log on to realoldies1690.com and enter keyword Real Deals to buy a $50 Marche gift certificate for only $25. Real deals from Chicago's Real Oldies 1690. Log on to realoldies1690.com to listen to the Real Oldies live on your computer. Plus, there's much more, including headlines, weather, sports, and more. realoldies1690.com.
May blaming it on the bossa nova. Scotty Brink playing the Real Oldies and Real Oldies 1690, the best oldies on the air anywhere. And here's one of them with Tommy Rowe.
Sweet little Sheila, you'll know her if you see her.
Real Oldies for Chicago.
The wind meets sea.
Orchestra at Real Oldies 1690 taking us on a sea cruise. Fine day for it, would you say? Scotty Brink here with the best oldies anywhere. We heard Bob and Earl with the Harlem Shuffle, which is mighty fine. And before that, the Gentrys and Tommy Rowe. Next, it's Chad and Jeremy. All kinds of good stuff coming up, including, of course, Elvis, because we play more Elvis than anybody anywhere at Real Oldies 1690. This is also, by the way, the home of Larry Lujack and Tommy Edwards. You'll find those two guys here every morning between 5 and 10, waking Chicago up with animal stories and Larry's addresses to the nation, and Lord knows what. Find out tomorrow morning between 5 and 10, right here.
Let me get him exonerated.
You mean executed. There's not a damn thing you can do about it.
Just pick up the phone and dial 773-CLASSIC today.
Real Oldies 1690.
Chicago's only real oldies station, Real Oldies 1690.
Oldies 1690, your official Elvis Presley radio station. I'm Scotty Brink, and here are the tokens.
Now, you might be saying, well, you missed a few stations. Well, I did accidentally miss 1200. Of course, as you probably know, it's out of Maywood, and it runs a Spanish format. 1270 is Catholic, part of one of the Catholic networks. And when I tried to find it on the web, instead of getting something about it, I got for WWCA the Worldwide Chinese Association. 1370 is on the air, but both 1270 and 1370 were unrecordable from my location in the south suburbs. So I hope you've enjoyed it. Until next time, Mark Marino saying, bye for now.
By the time you get this cassette, WRLL will be the new home of 1450 WVON. Thank you, Mark. Nice job on the air checks and commentary. Mark will be back next month with the FM side of South Chicago, Northwest Indiana Radio. Remember, if you'd like to send in a Market Scope contribution, format change, or air check of an interesting station in your hometown, mail it to me, Phil Wayne, at 313 Spring Street, Upper Sandusky, Ohio, 43351, 1652. Thank you so much for all your help.
This is Musings of the Members. The opinions are those of the speaker and do not represent the DX Audio Service, the National Radio Club, or its editors. Members may muse by calling the action line.
Okay, this is George. I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the home of the Brewers. Nothing has been changed about radio here in Milwaukee, not yet. I still want to know what's going to happen to the 1390 spot. No, not 1390, 1450 spot on WVON, where it was. Anyway, if anybody want to get a hold of me, they can by calling 414-461-9710. Thank you. Have a nice day.
Hello, DXers. This is TJ, TJ the DJ from DeKalb, Illinois. And I guess everyone knows about Oldies 1690 WRRL. They will be off the air September 18th. And in its place, WVON, the old 1450, will be moving to 1690. WRRL has pulled off all their DJs, and once every hour they're announcing the fact that they will be changing to WVON. Hey, is there anyone out there who could give me information about WENR? WENR. Mark mentioned it on his last segment when he was talking about stations that shared time back in the 30s on 890. When was the station on the air? How long was the station on the air? I vaguely remember it from the 50s. How long was the station on the air? And just any information you could give me about WENR, I would appreciate. WSQR is announcing that they are moving to 1180. They're finally announcing that fact. All righty? They're finally announcing that fact. All right. I hope everyone is enjoying the convention. I had to work. Bye for now.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim Hendel in Huntsville. I enjoyed Fred's demonstration of the automation using the Carly Simon song, You're So Vain. Having said that, however, I will say this. I really hate it when DJs talk over the intro or the ending of a song. The record producers produce the song with an intro and the song and an ending to be a complete musical statement. The introduction to the song sets the mood, sets the key, sets the tempo. It's not just noise intended for some DJ to talk over. It's part of the song, and the listener should be allowed to hear it uninterrupted. Would you read a book by ripping out the first page and starting to read on the second page? No, you wouldn't. Well, songs should not be talked over or one song played over another. People should be able to hear the entire song.
All right. Hello, DXers. This is TJ from DeKalb, Illinois. And a correction on that radio station. It's WRLL, the one that's going off the air September 18th and will become WVON. I want to ask, how far can a station, how much coverage can a station give you with just 1 watt of power? Bill Hale mentioned that WSQR will be using 1 watt of power at night and 900 watts during the day. How much coverage can that station give you with just 1 watt? And then WL in New Orleans, they're on FM now. Why is the big, why are a lot of these stations going to FM, simulcasting on FM? I thought that the FCC requirements stated that you couldn't, that you had to program separately. Bye for now.
Hello, DXers. Ken Honest Jack here, your sports editor, formerly of Joliet, now in Lockport, Illinois, as of September the 2nd. My new phone number, 815-838-2179. That's my new phone number for any updates. Thank you. Hope you enjoyed the convention while I'm moving here into my new home near downtown Lockport. Thanks. Bye-bye.
This is Don Finney in Miami, Florida. 2 points. The first point is the established first broadcast was not December 24th, 1906, as I had thought. It was, as Bill Harrell indicated, it was the about the weekend of the 4th to the 6th of August, 1906, near the area that probably was the thought to be the original broadcast in Massachusetts. Thank you very much.
Hello, fellow DXers. Wayne Ryan from Brantford, Ontario. Well, it was a wonderful convention in Akron, Ohio, and I want to thank everyone for having been so nice to me, and I think we all would echo that. I think all of us felt that we were treated very well. We would like to have maybe had a travelogue on the Sunday morning and so on and so forth. We'd like it to have lasted a little bit longer, but it was a great convention nevertheless. Up here in Tillsonburg, Ontario, they're going to get 107.3 on FM. It will run 24/7 with country music, and they'll stay on at night with news, weather, and sports coverage. They will simulcast with 1510 CKOT, which will remain on the air as a daytimer and a country station. In Chicago, the Bulls are going to, I believe it's 104.9. Ken Onischuk called me one day to tell me about it. In Cincinnati, there's been some format changes. WCKY 1530, a 50,000-watt station, is now all sports. They changed formats with WSAI. It took on the Air America format. And I've been getting a station on 590 that's playing country music at night, and I'm not sure where it's coming from. I can't get an ID on it. And on the night of Labor Day, on 930, a New York Mets broadcast, so I figure that's somewhere in New York or Connecticut or New Jersey, somewhere likely up in that area. Another great thing at the convention, I want to thank John Malecki. That tape that he had of the 1967 game of the World Series, I thought that was great. The quality of that tape was just unbelievable, considering that that game was played as long ago as it was, and it had a good end result, too. I noticed WJR Detroit 2 this year is carrying Michigan State football instead of University of Michigan. I don't know the reason for that, but I did notice that last Saturday. Pat Foley, who has done games for the Chicago Blackhawks in hockey for years, will be doing them for the Chicago Wolves in the American Hockey League this year.
And that is our musings to the members on this edition of the DX Audio Service. If you have something on your mind, something to say, give us a call today on the Action Line. The telephone number is area code 360-469-0189. That's area code 360-469-0189. That's for DX Audio Service members only. Keep it brief and to the point. Also, be sure not to leave any personal messages to me on the DX Audio Service Musings line, as that number is only checked once per month just prior to publication, and your message could be missed or perhaps even ignored. So please call the office number if you wish to get a hold of me. That's area code 360-382-1957. That's area code 360-382-1957.
And now, a DX Audio Service editorial. Here is the chief editor of the DX Audio Service, Fred Vobey.
Many of you wonder why I have such a dislike for corresponding and email. As you've heard me say before, people will say and do things on the internet that they would never say or do to your face. Again, this has been proven by a posting on the Coast to Coast AM website, and one of our members who fell for the email hoax and asked me why I supported that racist talk show host Art Bell. First of all, let me just say this. If you get an email from someone which is forwarded, give it as much credence as you would if you were accepting facts from a blatantly intoxicated alcoholic. The email containing the alleged hate letter from Art Bell has been circulating for about 3 years. For some reason, some dysfunctional troglodyte has decided to pull this letter out and pass it to everyone he knows. And they in turn then forward it on to more people without even as so much checking the facts. The email has the subject line, "Filipinos make me puke." In an attempt to smear Art Bell, somebody took this hate message from a website, which is now defunct, and anonymously posted it to the internet and signed Art Bell's name and his address to it. Now, every few months, this gets posted again and again on newsgroups and is sent around on email, with additional hateful language added to incite Filipino internet users to respond to Art Bell. And since many blind people are now getting access to email and computers, they too are falling for this hoax. Still, the vicious anti-Filipino email keeps circulating, and angry Filipinos keep emailing Art. Art posted the following back on his website in July of 2001, and I would like anyone who has email to carefully listen to his words. It's titled, An Open Letter to My Listeners. Another event in the seemingly never-ending strange series of events in my life occurred, which will prevent me from being on the air this weekend. A horrible racist article, which has been on the internet for almost 3 years, despite our best efforts, has been published by the Philippine Daily Inquirer, the largest circulation newspaper in that country. This has resulted in hundreds of emails and death threats to me and my family. Even the slightest effort on their part would have resulted in the truth before rushing to publish. The article appeared in the entertainment section of the Sunday edition, July 1, 2001. As many of you, I hope, are aware, I did not write this trash and never would. In fact, my wife is half Filipino. It was originally sent from a computer located at UCSD in Southern California. They have sent an apology, which has been posted on the website, for almost 3 years. Over that period of time, every inquiry has been answered by myself, my webmaster, and the network. We are presently taking all legal steps possible. However, in the meantime, there is a very real physical danger to my family and myself. This will require my full attention for the moment. The newspaper, as of this writing, still has not published a retraction, even though they have been served with a demand letter to do so. The newspaper's email addresses are feedback@inq7.net, jvaruta@inquirer.com.ph, and readersadvocate@inquirer.com.ph. You should take care to help by urging them to promptly retract this dangerous, reckless, and thoughtless article. See you soon. Signed, Art Bell. Now, as many of you are aware, Ramona Bell passed away in January of 2006, and it was a crushing blow to Art. Nevertheless, Art picked himself back up, dusted himself off, and got back on the air to do a show. Later, he found love again, this time with a Filipino school teacher by the name of Aaron. They are now happily married, and Art and Aaron Bell live in the Philippines, where they're both very happy. In hopefully closing this chapter, I ask anyone who is on the internet to delete such a message, if they get it, and not boorishly forward it to their friends and family. In my opinion, Art is a wonderful and talented broadcaster who is a victim of this cruel hoax. Before pressing that forward key or responding to such dribble in the future, consider this. If someone wrote something like that about you, how would you want others on the internet to act? I'm Fred Vobey, publisher of the DX Audio Service, and this is my opinion.
Hello again, DXers, in September 06. While I was at the pizza restaurant on Friday, August the 11th, I happened to see this article in the Chicago Tribune sports section. I said, what? Wow. Anyway, it says ESPN pulls plug on ABC Sports. And the previous article that was on here in this last edition was similar to it, about ESPN taking over ABC. And this article was written by Richard Sandemer in the New York Times and reprinted here. So here's what it says. ABC Sports, which was once defined sports television and was the home of Rune Arledge, Jim McKay's Wide World of Sports, Howard Cosell, 10 Olympics, and Mexican cliff diving, died Thursday, August the 10th, after one big gulp by ESPN. The sports division that was nurtured to prominence through Arledge's production vision and deal-making savvy had been in fading health and recently lost rights to Monday Night Football. ABC Sports was only 45 years old. Dick Ebersol, chairman of NBC Universal Sports, who started his career as an Olympic researcher at ABC before becoming Arledge's executive assistant, said, "My heart just cries for Roone's legacy." Still, for those who observe the changes at ABC Sports, its demise is not a stunning development, nor is the title. ESPN on ABC will accompany all sports programming on ABC starting September 2, along with SportsCenter updates and ESPN graphics. Except for the transparent ABC logo on the screen, friends, soon ABC Sports will be a distant memory. Nearly every sport shown by ABC in recent years was bought by ESPN's leaders, not those of ABC Sports. And nearly all the announcers calling events on ABC are borrowed from the ESPN empire, as I said previously. One of ABC's last pure voices, now retired Keith Jackson, said in a phone interview, "A lot of people worked to make ABC what it was, and they deserve more than to have their legacy just thrown aside, you know, irreverently." Frank Gifford, an ABC star for 27 years, mostly on Monday Night Football, said by telephone that the advent of ESPN and ABC does not surprise him or upset him. The fact that ESPN was once a minor league cable entity, remember back in the late 70s, that evolved into a massive steroidal version of ABC Sports is not lost on him. He said with a bit of a laugh, "The tail took over the dog. The tail outgrew the dog. The world has changed." The engulfing of ABC Sports is viewed at ESPN as an evolutionary step, and it is yet another seemingly daily symbol of the network's brand-building avariciousness. Finally here, a recent survey by ESPN of 1,000 viewers seemed to cinch the death of ABC Sports. It showed that ESPN was the preferred brand for sports viewing, far beyond ABC Sports or the sports divisions of CBS, Fox, or NBC. Thanks to phone calls from Victor Schmidt and Tom Rothrock, news about the Washington Redskins will be on ESPN 730, 94.3 in Warrenton, and 92.7 in Prince Frederick, Maryland. The 730 is Alexandria, Virginia. The Dallas Cowboys have moved from K-Love to 1310 KTCK at 93.3 called the Bone with Brad Sham and Charlie Waters, with stations in Texas, Arkansas, Louisiana, Mexico, and Oklahoma, Spanish on 1270 KFLC and 99.3 KFSO, and 13 station network. Wayne Ryan mentioned about the Chicago Bulls, and I called him and mentioned that the Bulls have moved to FM. Sorry, friends. 105.9 WCKG will carry the Bulls radio indefinitely. And I've tried the New York Giants, the New York Jets, Tampa Bay, and I couldn't find out anything on the internet. Sorry to mention that. So that's it for now, and I'll talk to you next time with more information. Thanks for listening. Take away, Fred.
Thanks, Ken. As many of you know, I've banged pretty hard on the proponents of large corporate radio and have become frustrated over the years, as many of you have. Even this past month at the National Radio Club Convention in Akron, many members lamented the demise of locally owned and operated radio and have expressed some displeasure in the offerings of the large corporate behemoths. We all know that local surpasses corporate radio in the eyes of public service, news, weather, and dare I say overall programming, yet there are some that deny that fact. I recall standing in the president and general manager's office at WLIO-TV, speaking with Congressman Michael Oxley, expressing my displeasure over the rulings of the Telecommunications Act of 1996, ownership limits, the loss of real news and public service, and the fact that a simple person like myself has no opportunity to own and operate a radio station in their community. I remember his words, "Fred, radio stations are failing at a high number. The only way we can have radio stations succeed is by consolidating them and allowing large corporations to operate them." Unquote. Several years later, when LPFM came out, large corporations went ballistic, claiming it would hurt them financially and technically. Later, a bogus interference report surfaced, authored by the National Association of Broadcasters, claiming that third adjacent channel transmissions from an LPFM station would clearly kill the reception of the high-power station. As reported on the DX Audio Service, the Federal Communications Commission opened a series of inquiries into the thought of consolidation and localism. Is consolidation good for radio and the American public, they asked. Many of us commented. Many more were apathetic and chose only to complain about the way radio sounds to other DX Audio Service members. Still, a few of us followed the proceedings with some interest. So imagine our interest being piqued when on September 14th, Senator Barbara Boxer from California, in the renomination of the FCC chairman, Senate Commerce Committee, laid out a bombshell report on consolidation to FCC chairman Kevin Martin. Here is Senator Barbara Boxer.
I want to follow up on the idea of localism that Senator Dorgan started, Mr. Martin. And by the way, I have questions for both of you. So I'm going to stay a second round if my time runs out. When the FCC released its media ownership decision in 2003, Congress and the courts criticized the commission for serious problems. In then-Chairman Powell's words, quote, "In the months that followed, we heard the voice of public concern about the media loud and clear. Localism is at the core of these concerns, and we're going to tackle it head-on." You said, Mr. Martin, what local broadcasters provide in terms of local news and information to the community is really important. And you were quoted in USA Today in October 2005. So I appreciated that because I certainly agree with that. You still feel that way about the importance of localism?
Oh, yes, I do.
Okay. Now, in August 2003, the FCC established a localism task force to study issues like the impact of media consolidation on local news programming. It is now 3 years later, and we haven't seen a release of any report or any policy recommendations from the staff. What has happened to that?
When the localism task force was started under the previous chairman, they had committed to having a series of hearings, and then at the end of those hearings, and they actually identified the place. I think the final hearing was supposed to be in Maine, and at the end of that hearing, they would release a report that summarized all of the hearings that had occurred up until then. That was never completed by Chairman Powell. When I took over as chairman, it was already supposed to have been completed. I think the commission had originally promised to do that by the end of 2005. But we didn't end up completing it, and so at this point, we do need to do another localism hearing, which I've committed that the commission will go do.
I appreciate that.
And I've already started, and I've asked this, and I asked the staff to go back. They had not done the summary that had they had promised, and I asked them to go back and draft a summary of that, so we'll be able to make that publicly available.
Okay. Well, let me tell you why I have a problem with your answer. I mean, I'm very happy with what you're going to do, but I think there's work that's been done, and it's been stifled. And I don't know who stifled it, but I have a copy of a draft report dated June 17th, 2004, Do Local Owners Deliver More Localism? Some Evidence from Local Broadcast News. And I ask that the copy of this be placed in the record. Now, according to this report, have you seen this report?
I haven't, and I wasn't chairman in June of 2004.
You haven't?
So I have not seen that.
So you don't think any of the commissioners saw this report?
I think that the previous chairman may have, but I don't know if the other commissioners saw it.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask you to please go back after you look at it again. I'm going to ask all the other commissioners to tell me if they ever saw this report, because according to it, local ownership, this is a quote, adds almost 5.5 minutes of local news and over 3 minutes of local on-location news. That's over 5 minutes for each 30-minute local news broadcast. In the course of a year, this means locally owned stations provide over 33 more hours of regional news, news that's directly relevant and important to viewers. Now, this isn't national security, for God's sakes. I mean, this is important information about issues that are key to the people. I would suspect your own mom who lives in rural America. So I don't understand who deep-sixed this thing. I want to get to the bottom of it and find out if any commissioners saw this. And now we're starting all over again. Well, bless your heart, and I'm glad you did it, but I don't have great confidence. You know, it seems to me, and maybe I'm just a cynic, I've been here a long time, that, you know, this comes out with a very clear response to the question of consolidation versus localism, and we have a pro-localism bit of information, non-biased, compiled, clear, defended, and it never sees the light of day? Thank you, whoever sent this to me. I don't have a clue. But I'm sure glad somebody out there sent this to me, because I think this is news, that this kind of work has never seen the light of day. Do you have any clue who may have stopped the release here of this report?
As I said, if it was stated in June of 2004, I became chairman in March of 2005.
Were you a commissioner then?
I was a commissioner then.
Okay. And will you promise that you will read this report?
I will, and I have no doubt that I don't mean to imply that the staff hasn't pulled that back out and trying to re-summarize where we were. I was just saying that the staff didn't have anything that was ongoing and finalizing the evidence that we had gathered. So I'll make sure that should be one of the things that they are looking at trying to summarize and would be released. I will go back and make sure.
Good, because I have to tell you, this is a piece of work. This isn't some lightly pulled together, deal. They went out and they did a real good study of this, and they found out that there's more local news. Despite all of the other talk from the big guys, there's more news. There's more local news, and that's what people want. Let me tell you, all you have to do is ask any of us. When we run for office, we have to take our advertising budget pretty seriously. We go to the local news. That's what the people want. That's what they watch. They want it. And this says you get more news when you have the luxury of having local news stations. And I'll withhold for my other questions until
Mr. Pryor.
Senator Barbara Boxer has sent a letter to FCC Chairman Kevin Martin stating that she was dismayed that this report, which was done at taxpayer expense more than 2 years ago, and which concludes that localism is beneficial to the public, was shoved in a drawer. Martin said he was not aware of the existence of the report, nor was his staff. His office indicated that it had not received Boxer's letter as of mid-afternoon on Thursday, September the 21st. Adam Kadub, a former FCC lawyer and now law professor at Michigan State University, stated, "Senior managers at the Federal Communications Commission ordered that every last piece of that report be destroyed. The whole project was just stopped. End of discussion," he said. The Federal Communications Commission was not allowed to get away with their new ownership rules, and according to the MSNBC article, the 2003 action that would have loosened the ownership for local media sparked a backlash amongst the public and within Congress. In June of 2004, a federal appeals court rejected the agency's reasoning on most of the rules and ordered it to try again. The debate has since been reopened, and the Federal Communications Commission has scheduled a public hearing on the matter in Los Angeles on October 3rd. Time now for our CPC report on the DX audio service, and here's a first for me. A station that is conducting a DX test without myself or anyone else having to ask them to. The very DX-friendly ways of WODI in Brookneal, Virginia, continue with today's announcement by owners Dave Marthouse, N2AAM, and Tony DiNicola, WA2IHZ, of a special DX test. The test of WODI 1230 in Brookneal, Virginia, will be a short-duration test, 5 minutes long, each Sunday morning, late Saturday night, starting October 1st at midnight Eastern Time. Listen for Morse code IDs, sweep tones, and more. The test will continue until further notice, but hopefully it will be well into the winter season, giving a lot more DXers the chance to put this station in their logs. By the way, WNJC 1360 in Vineland, New Jersey, will conduct a DX test on Sunday morning, late Saturday night, October 1st, 2006, from midnight until 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Modes of operation will be transmitter testing, 4,000 watts, non-directional. Programming is Morse code IDs, sweep tones, voice IDs. Note, transmitter testing following the repairs of the array after Tropical Storm Ernesto, the station will test until at least 4 a.m., but possibly later. And that's our CPC report on this edition of the DX Audio Service. If you remember a few months back, I had that big studio sale where I got rid of a lot of equipment here in the Sheetrock announce booth, and a couple members came up with some darn good deals, and I recovered some real estate here in the room, and I need to do it again. So I'm bringing this up only because I know there's a few members who have said that they have some buy, sell, and trade items. And if you'd like to put them on the magazine, it's very easy to do. All you have to do is send me a card or letter with your listing. Or what you can do is call the Musings line and put that information on the Musings line, and then I'll pull that particular cut off and put it on our DXchange, which is what we call our buy, sell, and trade list. And let's see if we can do one of those next month, perhaps put out some good deals here just in time for the holiday season. And finally, before we close out the DX Audio Service, a request from a National Radio Club DX Audio Service member who subscribes via EDXN and gets the MP3 version of the audio service. He asked if we could play the jazz rendition of our closing theme of the DX Audio Service without talking over it. Yeah, I guess we can do that just one time. Here it is, 73, Good DX, Get Out and Support Radio. Now, is that Wally on bass and Bill on drums?